Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and we're here on the Tough Talk Christian Radio show being produced to you live out of Houston under the Tough Talk Radio Network. It's an incredible day here in Houston. Our weather got a little cooler, so I think it's only a high of 72. I'm able to sit outside, enjoy the sun. Boy, God has blessed me. I want to talk a little bit about this weekend. We all know that Easter weekend seems to be the day or the weekend that everyone goes to church. I'm not sure why, but I do know that it's incredible. I know I started going to a new church about a year and a half ago, and what's really crazy, folks, is that we had church. We usually meet every Sunday in a school, a high school or junior high school, three different locations, and there's probably, I'd say, 8 to 10 services a weekend. And, you know, you go to the school and some schools have live feed of the pastor at the main campus or the main school that he preaches out of. But this time, because it was Easter and because of the need, they decided to do it in a place called the Berry Center here in the outskirts of Houston. And this is a place where it seats about almost 10,000 people. And what's funny is this is where they hold high school graduations. Well, I can tell you, I went to the second service on Sunday, and without exaggeration, the place was packed. And you know, it was really cool to see all these people, but I couldn't help keep looking around going, wow, look what God has brought to this space, in this area, in this community. And you look on social media, and that happened all across the state of Texas, all around the country. It's incredible what happens on Easter with people going to church. Now, is their commitment going to stay past that? Maybe they're like some of my children where they go because their mother says that's one of the days they have to go to church no matter what, even though they're adults. Or is it going to make a change in their lives? Now, I can tell you, as we exited back to the parking lot after the service, there was over 100 people in line to get baptized. They're giving their life to the Lord. Unbelievable. It was, I can tell you, it was so overwhelming, almost hard to believe, let alone explain. So if you had a service that you attended this weekend that was like no other, well, I hope you'll call in and let us know about that. The call-in number today is 347-989-1363. And I can tell you, folks, when I walked out of church, I really felt like I had to make some changes. Only because as our days go along, we seem to, I'll use myself as an example. I get up in the morning and I pray. And I get up in the morning, I read a little bit of my Bible, a little bit of a devotional. I try to meditate, but there's a lot going on in my head. But by 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, 3 hours later, 4 hours later, I seem to be like needing that time again. And I don't know about you, but if you found a way to grab a hold of that and stay away from drifting away from the Lord 3 hours after you started in the day, call us, let us know how you're doing that, because I'd like to give it a try. One of the things I found here on the show is that every week, as I interview these guests from across the country, I'm learning so much, and I'm really excited to be able to announce what they're doing and what God has done in their lives and what they're doing now because of it and the way that they're conducting themselves and how they're helping others. And, you know, everything's fed to us by the Lord. Whether we want to be fed or not, he just lays it on us. And eventually we give in or we find our way or we look back down the path and understand the reasoning. But most of the time we struggle with giving up our ability to follow. So I got great guests today, as always. I have a young lady by the name of Cynthia Jones, who is my first guest, and she's been inspiring people to strive to reach their full potential while not quite believing she could do it for herself. So question for you is, before I bring Cynthia up on here, what is your struggle? Okay. How are you handling it? Do you need help with that? So here's what I want you to do. Let's send that email to info@toughtalkradionetwork.com, info@toughtalkradionetwork.com, and share with us what you're doing so we can bring it up on the air. If you want to be a guest on the show, you can go to toughtalkchristianradio.com and just hit the button to be a guest and fill out the information needed, and you'll be able to pick a time and date that best suits your schedule. So without wasting any more time, I want to welcome Cynthia Jones to the show. Cynthia, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Cynthia, before we dive into what's going on in your world with the Lord and different things, I want people to know a little bit about where you're from and where you're calling in from.
Well, I'm originally from New Jersey, but I live in Atlanta, and I've been here about 30 years. I love it here.
And what part of New Jersey?
Born and raised in East Orange, New Jersey. And we moved to Hillside around the time I was in high school. And about 10 years later, I came to Atlanta, and I've been here ever since.
Mm. Well, I always like to people know a little bit about your background. I mean, I'm calling in from Houston, Texas. I've been here 21 years, but I'm originally from Philadelphia, or the outskirts of Philadelphia. So it's crazy how God makes us move about the cabin, so to speak, to find the location where he wants us to do our work. So tell me a little bit about Cynthia.
Well, I've been in ministry now for about 30 years. I've been preaching about 25 of those years and loving it. It came as a bit of a surprise when I realized I had been called to preach. I've always been a background person. I've always helped my pastor from the background. Never in a million years did I ever think I would be out in the front. But God has a way of doing things when you least expect it, and getting you right outside of your comfort zone. I was quite comfortable in the background, and I still am very comfortable in the background, but I'm okay out in the front. I still prefer the background, but I'm okay out in the front now.
So, you know, my wife says the same thing. She always says to me, you be in the front of the room, and I'll work from the back of the room. And I'm always saying to her, no, you would be better in the front of the room. What do you think the fear is there, Cynthia?
Well, for me, it wasn't fear. I guess one of my gifts has always been to make other people look good. So I like getting everything in order for you to go out and do what you've been called to do. And I try to make it easy and less stressful for you. I try to take on as much as I can so that you can just focus on what God has called you to do. And I thought I was really good at it, and I was quite comfortable with it, and God said, no, I want you out in the front. And in the beginning, I was kind of apprehensive because, you know, I didn't want to be in the pulpit. But the more you do something and the more you follow the Lord and you stand on his word and stand on his promises and trust that he knows what plans he has for you, the more I did that, the more comfortable I became at it. But the place that I'm most comfortable is helping other people look good at what they do.
Mm. So let's rephrase that, because I'm speaking to a lady here and I'm not supposed to ask those questions. Now, when was it that you found the Lord, and when was it that you were sure that this is what you were supposed to do?
Oh, wow. My first encounter with the Lord, I was 7 years old. We were sent away to camp, and it was a Christian camp. And they taught us about the Lord. We ended up, you know, having a regular camp, enjoying ourselves. But at night, there was worship services. There was Bible study. We still had the arts and crafts. We went swimming. We still had all the fun stuff of being at camp. But at the end of the day, it was about loving God. And I think that is one of the best things that you could do for a young child, because I got my first introduction of God's love, because they talked about that at the camp so much, how much God loved us and how much he wanted us to be a part of his family. And so I was saved right then at 7 years old. I walked up to the front and I gave my life to the Lord, but it wasn't until years later that I recognized the call of God on my life. I've always been in church, and most of the time I've worked in the church. But when God started speaking to me about preaching, I wasn't prepared for that. I loved what I was doing, as I previously said. And then because of some things that I went through physically, about 18 years ago, I was diagnosed with a serious heart condition. And God brought me through all of that. He brought me through 4 open heart surgeries in a very short amount of time. And then God allowed me to start speaking as an inspirational speaker. I still talk about the Lord, but now I'm speaking outside of the church as well as inside of the church. And so I just love the way God had everything orchestrated. All when he says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, that is so true, because my path has taken me in places I never thought I would be. I never would have thought that by having 4 open heart surgeries would lead me to be able to speak to young people and to encourage others that no matter what you're going through, you can make it through this. And that's what my message is all about now. It doesn't matter if you're divorced or if you've been abused or if you've been sick. As long as you're still breathing, you still have another opportunity to keep going, to get back up. We all get knocked down, but not all of us get back up. But when you know the Lord, you have the power and the anointing to get back up.
Well, you know, a lot of people roll their eyes when you say that, or I say that, or people that have had some very, very hard situations to overcome. And, you know, 4 open heart surgeries, well, you would think that's at the top of the list of things that are hard to overcome.
Yes.
I received this book in the mail called Destined Even Though You've Been Delayed.
Yes.
And, you know, I talked about today being out outside, not in my office. So I'm just sitting out, and there's 2 red cardinals on the tree that I've been able to check out. It's really cool. But the book, when I got it, I put it on my desk, and in the morning, about a week or so ago, I picked up the book and I started reading through it. And I don't read page for page. I just kind of read here and read there. And I said to my wife, read this book. When you're done, I want it back because I want to finish reading it. How did this come about, the book, Destined, Even Though You've Been Delayed? What made you sit down and write this book?
Well, I wrote the book in 2012, and I was going through a difficult time. I was trying to find my way back from being sick and getting back to my life before I had gotten sick. And I noticed that my outlook on life was beginning to change, because I have always seen the glass half full. And because of some things that had happened in my life, I began to look at the glass half empty. And I remember saying, God, I don't want to change. I like who I am. I like who you created me to be. And clear as day, he said, write about it. And so I started writing, never intending for it to be a book, never intending for it to even be published after I wrote it. And I wrote it, and people kept saying, publish it, publish it, publish it. And so I self-published, and I was surprised that people loved it. It's not my story. It was the process that I went through to get to where I am. But what I've realized is the process that everyone goes through. Everyone at some point has been knocked down. Everyone at some point has been discouraged or disappointed or frustrated or felt like giving up. And my book talks about going through that process, but finding the courage and the strength and the motivation, which the book is to motivate you, that you can keep going. And so that's how the book came about.
Well, I can tell everyone out there, Destin, even though you've been delayed, they can get it on Amazon, is that correct?
Yes, on Amazon, on Kindle, yes, it's available. It's available as an ebook and as a paperback.
I highly recommend it. Now, people that listen to my show regularly know that I'm not out there selling books, okay? I don't even talk about my own books. But I do talk about things, I call them tools, Cynthia. This book is a tool to help people realize that they're not in the ship by themselves. They're not in the hole all by themselves.
Yes.
They're not just out there all alone. Other people have made it through, you know. And even though you considered yourself the back of the room person, maybe that's what they consider themselves, God makes you go through these situations so that you can come forward and help others that are similar in your thinking. So,
right.
I can't say enough times that if people are out there struggling, and look, just because I love the Lord doesn't mean I have a free and easy day. I probably struggle more than the person that doesn't love the Lord because they don't even recognize it. But the fact of the matter is you have got to surround yourself with tools and people and that one little book called the Bible. And you really have to stay in there to stay encouraged because, well, Satan has a full-time job trying to work us over to the other side. So question for you.
Sure.
You know, you went through 4 open heart surgeries. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, maybe surgery number 2 or number 3. And I'm going to tell you how I know this, Cynthia, or how I might be able to relate to this. I've had 4 surgeries. I've had Crohn's since I was diagnosed with it at 19, and I'll be 62 in a couple more months. And they said I wouldn't live to be 25. I found the Lord in 2010. Well, I'm a slow learner. We all know that. But the fact of the matter is, I now understand why the Lord kept me here. Okay, because he had other plans for me. I don't know what they are, but how did you find the strength when all your hopes seemed to be not available because you found the Lord at a young age? I found him late. I kind of found him differently. I found him because if you told me to carry a piece of rock around and that was going to make me live through the surgery, I'm going to carry the piece of rock around. I even kiss it twice a day. And I went in hoping. And when I came out of the surgery and the doctor said exactly the same words that the pastor prayed over me 5 days before, the exact words, I about fell out of the bed. So I went in hoping and came out selling. But how did you get your way through it?
Well, I got my way through it because the only thing I can say is I had the word on the inside of me before I ever got sick. I am an advocate of standing on the promises of God, standing on his word, preaching his word. So I had the word on the inside of me. So when the doctors or the nurses came in with negative reports, I had to know whose report was I going to believe because my Bible tells me by his stripes I'm healed. My God told me to take the gospel to the nation. At that time, I hadn't been anywhere yet. So this cannot possibly be the end of my story. I respect every doctor. I respect every nurse, every technician. But my story, my path is I'm walking out of here. Now, I did walk out. I did not intend to come back. And so the hard thing for me was people kept telling me that my faith wasn't strong enough and I wasn't believing enough and all the negative reports that I was getting from believers as well as unbelievers. But what I didn't understand, and I didn't understand why I was going through what I was going through, but what I've come to learn now, everything I went through had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the message God gave me to share with the world. That he's not a respecter of persons, and the same thing he did for me is the same thing he'll do for you. You might be knocked down, but God gives you the power, the strength, and the courage to get back up. And so that's why I had to go through what I went through, because now I'm not just telling you the pretty words from a podium. I'm telling you because I've been there. I've been there myself, and I know that God is able. That's all I need. I thank God for the doctors, but all I needed was God, and he brought me through it.
I tell you, it's awesome information. It really is. And so I want to ask you, are you a pastor at your own church, or do you preach at a church?
Well, I was pastoring my own church until about 2 years ago. And then God started leading me to travel the world, share my story, publishing my book. I preach when I'm being called to preach. I have a church home that I am a part of. So when I'm in town, that's where I'm at. But when I'm out of town, whether I'm preaching or whether I'm standing as an inspirational speaker, my message is always centered around the love of God, because I would not be here if it was not for Him. So if I'm at a school giving an inspirational speech, or if I'm at a pulpit preaching the gospel, it all centers around the love of Christ.
So you wrote a book, and from the way I wrote one of my books was I was amazed at what took place in my life, so I thought it would be good to share my life so that other people that went down certain roads knew that they had opportunity. And when I wrote the first book, people asked me, "What, are you going to write another book?" I was like, "Oh, no. I can barely read right." So I always ask all my guests this, and I know that you've heard a lot of great things about your book, because I started reading it, and I just know people had to have been very excited to read the book more than once. So yes. Have you decided or started to write a second book?
Well, actually, Destined was my fourth book. I haven't published the first three. But now I'm working on Destined was the first one God told me to release. And then I started writing sort of a number two to Destined, because it seems to be popular demand. Everyone wants a number two, which wasn't even on my radar. Again, that's how God works, because after people read the first one, they started asking for the second one. They're telling me they want part two. So I'm doing a second part, which is motivation for every day of the year. And that will probably be published sometime by the end of this year. And then I still will probably do a part two, or maybe a different title, but it'll be along the same thing as Destined, because it's amazing how many lives it's touching. The emails that I get, and even when I go speak and I'm signing the books at the end, to see the people crying and the love I get from people, it's really overwhelming. And then I think about the days that I was laying in the hospital asking God why, and then see the effect that my book or my testimony has on other people, it was all worth it, and then some.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, unfortunately, Cynthia, we never have enough time on the show, and I hope that you will come back when the next book comes out, or even sooner. I also hope that you will consider writing your story, because that's probably the one thing that the Lord, if He said that you're not in the back of the room anymore, He would want you to tell. But I'm just guessing, you know better, but if you're going to pray on something, pray on that. I would love to know more about Cynthia. So how can
people
get in touch with you? How can they reach out to you and get you to come and speak in their area? I know you're in Atlanta, but I'm sure that you'll go and speak wherever they want to pay your airline ticket to.
They can go to my website, cjministries.org, but it's spelled CEE-JAY ministries.org, and all of my social media links are on my website.
Awesome. One more thing, Cynthia. I try to give all my guests to give us one piece of, well, for lack of better phrase, a good piece of advice for what you think that people should grab a hold of this year.
The one piece of advice that I would give anyone, as long as you're still breathing, you still have a chance. Don't ever give up. just keep going. Whatever your destiny is, whatever your purpose is, don't give up. This is not the end of your story.
Yeah, amen to that. I can't thank you enough, Cynthia. I really appreciate your time today. I hope that you will stay in touch with us. And I want to make sure that people know that they can get to you on your website by going to CEE-JAYMinistries.org. And one more time, I don't want to be redundant, but people buy the book, Destined, Even Though You've Been Delayed. It's an awesome book. It's a great read. I'll go a step further. If you don't like the book, email me, info@toughtalkradionetwork.com, and I'll buy the book back from you.
Thank you very much for your time today, Cynthia.
We really appreciate having you and what you're doing and how you're showing people that insist that the back of the room is their spot, that there's a lot more to it. So once again, have a blessed week, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to see if I can get my next guest up on the air. So just hang in there. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, host of the show, and we just got done speaking to Cynthia Jones, and she was calling in from Atlanta, and she has written an incredible book that I think everyone should take time out to at least go on Amazon or Google and check it out. It's called Destined, Even Though You've Been Delayed. Now, my second guest today is a gentleman that I had the pleasure. I don't get to meet a lot of my guests face to face, but I had the opportunity to meet this gentleman and his son and their story. I want to say it was, I believe the beginning of last summer, maybe June or July of last year, and I was able to attend a lunch that they put on. They came in from Florida, and of course, you know, I'm in Houston, and let's see if I get my little computer here to work, I'll be okay. But a gentleman by the name of Daniel Bernard and his son Luke, and I don't know if Luke was able to make it on the show today. We got our wires crossed a little bit on the time. Being in different time zones sometimes messes me up. So I want to waste no more time, and I want to bring Daniel up, and hopefully Luke is with him. And if not, we're going to talk about an incredible opportunity that everyone's going to have, a story that's, well, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, folks, when I got to do this show, I didn't realize how blessed I was going to be to hear stories from others that just are, well, it's just almost hard to believe some of the stuff they've been through, just like Cynthia. She went through 4 major heart surgeries, and you just heard her. She's doing really well. So without wasting any time, I want to welcome Daniel Bernard to the show. Daniel, welcome to the show. All right, do I have you up here, Daniel? Can you hear me? All right, let's see. Let's try this again. Let me see. I'm going to take a little short break, play a commercial. I'm going to get to see if we can get this situated.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Let's try this again. Daniel, can you hear me now? Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, sometimes our guests mute their phone and don't even know it. Sometimes they're on a computer and they're getting a bad signal. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to wait it out a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Easter Sunday, and we're going to see if my my guy here can help me get him up. So it seems as though let me just try this other number here. Hold on 1 second. Daniel, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So I guess I had the wrong person. Okay. So you can still hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I had a couple of people on the switchboard. Were we able to get Luke up on the line?
No, unless he can call in from another number. He's not available right now.
He has the opportunity to call in on another number if he wanted to.
Oh, does
he can dial the same
thing.
Number and get up on the switchboard? Yes, sir. And
he can dial the same number.
I didn't know. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
And,
hold on. He said 727-25. I'll just text it to him. Okay. You want me to text him the same number I got on?
Yeah, 347-989-1363.
Okay, all right, I'll let him know.
Hold on. Okay, so while Daniel's doing that there, because it's just such an incredible story. Everyone has to hear from the person who actually went through the part of the process, because Daniel, as a father. I don't know if it's harder for us as parents than it is for our children to go through situations that we can't control. But this is a story that everyone's going to want to hear. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Daniel, what I know about him. He was born in Clearwater, Florida. I'm not going to give away the date. I'm just going to say that, you're almost a month younger than me. Anyway, so... I just want to talk real quickly while Daniel's getting Luke up on the line, and I want to talk about Easter Sunday. It still blows me away. Here we are on Wednesday, and I cannot get over the fact of how many people were in this church, in a venue at a church that I attended. It was over 9,000 people at one service, so it was really incredible. Really, really overwhelming, and I can't help it. I just keep talking about it. I'm amazed at how many people are giving their lives to Christ. There was over 100 people in line after that service, and this was one of four services to get baptized. So I can't express enough how awesome that is. Now, I think I got Luke up on the line. Let me check. Luke, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Luke? Okay.
This is Daniel.
Okay. Let's see. Now I got Luke, right? Nope. All right, one more try here. Let's see if I got it. Luke, can you hear me? I got two callers from the same number, so I must have you twice, Daniel.
Yeah, you had me twice, I guess. And you know, Luke's from the 254-919-3859. So.
Okay. Well, let's start the interview, and we'll see if he catches up with us. Okay. So.
Okay.
I'm gonna take off one of these numbers that you have dialed in, so we have a better connection. Let's see. Now you can still hear me, correct? Okay. All right. So, Daniel, I mentioned that you're born in Clearwater, Florida. Where are you calling in from?
I'm actually in Mary Lake, Florida right now. We just got done doing a TV show at Channel 45 here in Lake Mary.
Okay. So, you know, I had the pleasure of meeting you here at a lunch in Houston, put on by a gentleman by the name of Doug Stringer, who's also an author, and who is also a very dear friend of yours and does missionary work for a long time. And there's a long story behind that, but that's another show for here with you and Doug. But I had the pleasure of meeting you and meeting your son as well. And, you know, I really had no idea why I was being invited to the lunch. I had no idea of anything. And then you guys started talking about a situation that happened, a car accident, and I'll let you explain more of it. But a situation where there was pretty much no hope for your son to even, you know, make it through the evening, let alone a couple years later. But when I seen Luke, it took me a while to figure out that that was him because, I mean, he looked so normal. I mean, for being in a situation where he had all these things that are supposed to never happen, he looked as everyday as I did. So I want you to tell a little bit. I don't want to give away the whole story because I know there's a movie coming out. There's a book out, and there's a whole bunch of stuff here. So just can you give us some highlights of this?
Well, of course, you know, the movie, The Favorite, is inspired by the true events. So it's not a true story, but it is inspired by the true events that took place. With my son, who is out in L.A. pursuing an acting career, and he was in a near-fatal car accident. And he, in the accident, he had traumatic brain injury, which they thought he was dead at the scene. So that's why they brought out the detective. The detective only comes out if there's a fatality. And they came out and they thought he was dead, but he had a slight pulse. So they took him, flight into LA County Hospital. And they had removed a 4x5-inch piece of his skull. He had two broken vertebrae, other fractures in his face and his ribs. But he was what they call it. He was a GCS of 3 with dilated and fixed pupils. That means when they examine him to look at if there was any kind of response, or basically we'll call it, hey, is anybody home? That there was zero response, you know, and of course the dilated and fixed pupils mean that he was gone. So the fatality rate usually of something like that is 100%. Yet they went ahead and because he had a slight pulse, they went ahead and did that surgery and so forth. All this had happened, and it was 3 days later when we found out about it because the police or the hospital, they didn't call us. They had his information, but they failed to call us. It was actually his employer who called. I was in a Houston airport when I got the call that Luke was missing. And so Luke is one of 6 children, and we all got on the phone and started looking for where is Luke. Because he's been missing for 3 days, and so we finally found him in L.A. County Hospital and found out that all this had already been done, and he's in the hospital struggling, hanging on for dear life, and so finally got a hold of the neurosurgeon. He said, "Yeah, Mr. Bernard, I can tell you, just get here as fast as you can." So I canceled my flight back to Tampa and got on a flight to L.A. and. There, you know, 1 a.m. in the morning, you know, made my way to L.A. County Hospital. Never been there in my life, and finally found it and Chris's head was, you know, just huge and blown up, all swollen, and tubes everywhere and so forth. And of course, and he's in a coma. And but we began just to pray, and not knowing statistically, you know, what were the chances of him, first of all, surviving, and then second of all, him being a functional human being, were very, very slim. So we just began to pray and mobilized everybody to pray for complete recovery, not knowing really what the stats were on that, you know, what the probabilities of that were, which would have been ridiculous. But I'm glad I didn't know, you know, that, because I might have hindered my faith or something. So, you know, we prayed and believed, and of course it was labor intensive prayer, mobilizing 11 days. He woke up, you know, and it, you know, to make a long story short, in 6 weeks he was walking out of the hospital, and 2 months after he left the hospital, he had his cranioplasty that was done, where they, you know, obviously they put give him a new skull, and literally 6 months after the 6 months after the accident, he was actually scuba diving, getting certified in scuba diving, which is, you know, pretty wild. But about that same time, too, because of his insomnia, people with TBI, they have insomnia, have difficulty sleeping. And this one evening, he fell into a deep sleep. And in that sleep, he had this dream about two brothers. And he got up really excited and told us about how he had this vivid dream. And because he was just finishing up rehab and speech therapy and so forth, we said, hey, well, you know, write it down, thinking that just write your dream, and thinking it was going to be good for therapy. And it ended up being 90 pages later, and 1 month later, it was this story that became the script, The Favorite, which is pretty usually, he's a graduate from University of Central Florida. Even while he was in school, you know, I don't think he's ever written more than 15 pages. And here in the midst of recovering from brain trauma, he writes 90 pages. You know, it's just unreal. And so he writes 90 pages, and from there we started sharing with some other people the story, and you know, and you know, they encouraged us that, you know, to pursue it. And so a couple of years later, we finally had the funding to shoot the movie, and now it's Lord willing, going to be in theaters September 7th.
So I want to back up a little bit, and I want to talk about, I mean, the story itself. I know I have the book, and I'm looking forward to the movie, and I met both of you guys. But when you're talking about, you know, faith, prayer, all you could do is pray, I want the people to know a little bit about your background, okay? Because knowing that, you know, everybody who does what you do are supposed to be, like, you know, super connected to God in a lot of people's minds, right? But you're just the same as everybody else out there. So I want them to know the power of prayer and where you were at that point in time with the prayer and all that. But so tell them a little bit about your background. What is it that you've been doing for the last 20 years?
Yeah. Well, the last yeah, the last 20 years, I am a minister. I've pastored churches. I've been a missionary in Nigeria, West Africa. But for the last 21 years, we started Somebody Cares Tampa Bay, which is a networking of churches and ministries that work together in the Tampa Bay area, and started that from scratch and saw God bless that, and where we've had over the 21 years seen it grow and had tremendous impact on the community of Tampa Bay. So that, we've just continued to do that in the midst of trying to, you know, produce a feature film and get it into theater. So, it's quite an effort, but, you know, it's been Somebody Cares does a lot of compassion work where we refurbish homes of the elderly and disabled. You know, about we do a big event called Care Fest, where we do about 300 homes with about 4,000 volunteers all across Tampa Bay. We give out millions of pounds of food. with our partner Operation Blessing, and then we give out over 15,000 backpacks of school supplies with needy kids. So we do all these kind of means by which we kind of help equip the church to be outwardly focused and reach out into the community and be Jesus to the Tampa Bay, greater Tampa Bay community. And so that's what, that's what we've been doing. That's what I feel like God has called us to. And then in the midst of all this, we had the unexpected happen, which turned our lives upside down.
And through that process, did you find that your faith was challenged, or did you find yourself, and when all you could do was pray, even though the doctors told you, you're basically wasting your time, how powerful was that to remind you of the power of the Lord?
Well, I can't, because I'm sure there's other people who have prayed just as hard and just as much and everything else and didn't have the same results that we did. So, the fact is that, when I heard the news, of course, you're emotionally all, a mess and so forth. But the Spirit of God just gave us a measure of faith to pray that he was going to have a complete recovery, which statistically for him to have a complete recovery, and just to let you know that, they said that if someone had a GCS of 3, that he would have a 70% chance that he's going to be a vegetable the rest of his life. But if they had a GCS of 3 with dilated fixed pupils, is that the fatality rate was 100%. So for us to sit there and be praying for complete recovery was like crazy. It was like, what? You're expecting he's going to completely recover? But it just rose up in us that there's no way this was his destiny. And it was almost just an anger towards the enemy and what he's, trying to steal, kill, and, my son's testimonies, steal his life on earth and everything. And it's just like, wow, this is not going to happen. And when we was born and we named him, Luke, Benjamin, bearer of light. Luke means bearer of light. Benjamin means son of my right hand. I said, we just remembered all that and recalled all that and began to pray that and said, this is not his destiny, God, and we're not going to stand for that. And so we kind of just rose up and more of like, rather than like, oh God, save him, or oh God, heal him, we kind of went straight into like, okay, we're coming at you, devil. This is not going to happen. And so that's how we prayed. I can't describe that. I wouldn't, say that it was because, I've just been trained for spiritual warfare or anything like that. I would just say, the Spirit of God just gave us the grace and the faith to begin to pray that way. And thankfully, I didn't look like a fool, and God was faithful to hear our prayers, and bring about this miracle. Because we had the, as you see, we have the 700 Club, of course, Tony, you saw that 700 Club piece. And where when I point out to people, I said, the neurosurgeon that's in that 700 Club piece, and you see him struggling, where he actually says, well, what, when you see it, you got to say it's miraculous. When I share that with people, I let them know, I said, this guy is not only a neurosurgeon, he is the director, he's the head of neurosurgery for the largest trauma center in North America at the LA County Hospital. And so for someone like this to say something like that, that's a pretty big deal. That means that God has done something very significant, so a man like that would be able to make that kind of a comment on national TV, So it's really just a work of the Lord for sure. And thankfully he'd honored and heard our prayers, so.
You have to see the movie, because if you were to meet Luke and then hear the story, you would like say, excuse me, that's him? Because what does Luke do for a hobby?
Well, I'd say he works out for, what he likes to do. He likes to work out, believe it or not. So he works out with CrossFit, you know, and so yeah, so he
yeah,
you know,
but
he's like
to put it in perspective, okay? My son, one was a football player, and he's a gym rat, but Luke's a bear. I mean, he's a big boy, and I'm not talking fat. I mean, he's a very big, solid guy, and it's hard to believe that he had any injury in his life other than maybe a sore back from lifting weights.
Yeah, no,
crazy.
If you look at him, you don't know that he had a piece of his skull removed. You don't know any of that. So yeah, it's amazing, you know.
We run out of time quickly here, and I got to have you guys back on. I got to have Luke on the show. And, you know, on the information that my guest fill out, it talks about the book you've written. And so there is The Favorite by Luke Bernard. And people can find that, well, if you have a Google or a search bar on your computer, phone, or any other device that plugs in and recharges, you can find the book. But there's another book here, too. It says Journey Through the Valley by Kathy Bernard. Now, I'm assuming that's your wife.
That's my wife, yeah. And
can
what we did is that we blogged. We blog. She blogged and journaled every day, you know, because, you know, rather than trying to answer everybody, she blogged and journaled. And, you know, and when we would go out and share with people, people would go like, what were the prayers that you prayed? And, you know, what were the scriptures that you used? And so I said, Kathy, I said, you know, people want to, you know, they're going through their journey. They need help. And so we took that very journal that she did and the blog, and we turned it into a book to help others through their the journey through their valley.
Yeah, that is awesome.
So, yeah, so you know, so people get we're glad to, because now women can, you know, get a hold of that, and then they're gonna, from reading the true stuff that happened, the true events and so forth, and then they'll be inclined to come see the movie. And you know, and by the way, you know, people can go to thefavoritemovie.com, and if they, you know, right on the homepage is the trailer, so they can see the trailer there with John Schneider and, you know, Luke and everybody. And then, of course, if they go to more information, they can actually watch the 700 Club video that's there. Then going to also on the website, they can get out the Journey Through the Valley and also the book, The Favorite.
And the movie's coming out when, Daniel?
Yeah, right now we're projected, you know, September 7th. We're looking to do a release. We're trying to get various communities to get behind it because right now it's an independent distribution. We hope that's going to change, but we're just putting our best foot forward right now. So where we're going to go is where we have the support in communities. And so we're going to be in Houston April 17th and then in Humble on the 19th. We'll be at a Regal Theater off of Katy Freeway. There on the 17th, and on the 19th, we'll be at a Showbiz Theater there off Kingwood there in the Humble area. And those showings are for leaders, so pastors and business leaders. We, you know, they're invited to come out RSVP and come on out to, view the film and give us support for the eventual theatrical release, September 7th.
And what is it that the listeners out there that say, hey, I want to help. I watch the trailer. I'm going to go watch the trailer. And now I don't know, you know, how do I get in touch with Daniel? What is it that you're looking, I mean, the help that you're needing to do this? What can people do to be a part of helping?
Well, it's a broad range, you know, from simply, you know, going and talking with your pastor and people in your ministry organization, and getting them on board and saying, hey, let's get together and let's bring some of the church together so we can make sure that the Favorite's going to be in our city. Getting on social media and sharing and so forth, that what you know, becoming and getting all the different ones that you're familiar with and sharing the information with others and people that you know, that are on your Facebook or in Twitter and so on, doing those kind of things. And then, you know, beyond that, if you know of business people, we're still looking for people that will help us investment-wise to help us get into as broad of a theatrical release as possible. So in order to do that, we're still looking for investors to help us to get it out there into the marketplace. So it's, you know, from as little as just getting out there and sharing it on Facebook or in your social media, all the way to, hey, if you're somebody or if you know somebody that would like to invest and extend the kingdom through an evangelistic film that's going to impact lives, then, you know, hey, give us a call. Contact us.
And how can they do that, Daniel? What's the number that they can get a hold of you at? Or an email?
Well, the best email for me is, you know, I still get the email at my Somebody Cares. So it's daniel@sctb.org, which stands for Somebody Cares Tampa Bay .org. So daniel@sctb.org. And then just give me a call on my cell phone, 727-421-4132. And, just give me a holler, give me a text, and, you know, we'll respond to you. We're out grinding, you know, we're going to do a viewing in Daytona Beach tomorrow. And so we're out there, you know, starting to show the film and just gain support in the various communities that are opening up for us.
Well, Daniel, it's been the time goes really quick on these shows, and I just want to make sure that everyone out there understands the value of getting behind this movie. Now, you know, there's more Christian movies coming out now than ever before, and they're better and better and better, and the stories are just incredible. So that's one of the reasons why we're trying to get people out there to connect with Daniel and Luke and be a part of helping promote this. And like Daniel said, talking to your pastor, talking to your small group, your Bible study, getting people in your area to want to know more about it, contributing. Is there a, you know, a lot of people use GoFundMe and stuff like that. Do you have one of those pages?
No, we don't have anything like that at this time. No. I mean, eventually, you know, what we'll do is that too, depending on the people will be able to, we'll have it through our website and others, but we'll have it where people can actually go and place an order for tickets. And as soon as we have about 70% of that theater filled, then that showing will take place. And so there'll be, you know, probably towards the end of May, that's when we're going to start greenlighting the different theaters where people can start, you know, purchasing tickets.
Okay. And there's a site out there. I interviewed a Christian organization called Give Go Send. It's like a GoFundMe page, but there's no fees. And every month they pray over on which organizations in their community that they should tie back to. So I'll send you a link for that. It's really worth checking out. Because it's really in the Christian community, and I think that this movie will it'll change a lot of lives. So, Daniel, buddy, I just can't thank you enough. I know that you and I, we don't get to often talk to each other on the phone since Harvey happened here. I've been as busy as you have been traveling around the country. So I just hope that we can connect when you're here in Houston. I'm looking forward to that. We're getting our list together. And before you go, we got about 30 seconds. Give people one piece of advice that you'd like to leave with them today.
Well, I would just advise everybody to think about every day, thinking about how they can be an extension of God's love and grace to somebody, and just praying and asking God to bring people into their path, you know, and to give the answer for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Because at the end of the day, the thing that's going to count for forever is the people that we touch for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so make that, put every day, put it on your to-do list to be a living witness for Jesus Christ and to be bold and to share. Because I can tell you what, the enemy's bold and all the other philosophies and so forth, they're bold about putting out their stuff. And we need to be bold and loving and caring, but be bold in letting them know the perspective that we have is that, we have an indestructible life through Jesus Christ. No matter what comes in this life, that we have life eternal because Jesus died and he rose for us. And, boy, people need to know that. They need to live life, you know, fearlessly because we know what we have through Jesus, that we have eternity with him. And so I just want to encourage people to do that. That's why we're doing The Favorite. The premise of the movie is you are his favorite. So no matter what your background or dynamic, family-wise, whatever, God says by virtue of the fact that he died for you that you're his favorite. And so, but we can carry that message not only in the film, but we can carry that every day. And just want to encourage you to do that. Because then, when it's all said and done, that's the only thing that's going to be lasting.
Amen to that. Daniel, we're out of time. I want to say thank you. Please tell Luke we're going to be reaching out to get him on the air. And I just hope that you
absolutely,
have a
we'll schedule
week,
it.
And I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you for having us on, Tony. It's awesome. Appreciate it, brother.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Folks, we're out of time. So I'm going to do a fast wrap-up, okay? And that wrap-up is make sure to tune in next week, 3 o'clock Central Standard Time, to Tough Talk Christian Radio. I hope everyone out there just finds their way through the week and have the blessed, blessed week.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.